Okay, that looks good. And ladies and gentlemen, gals and girls, we are back. Potnuts Pro, show number 101. We did not stop after show 100. Matt, did you think we were going to make it?
I did. Renewed. We're over the hurdle, and I see another X amount of shows in the future.
All right. Well, over the hurdle sounds a lot better than jumping the shark, so I don't want to do that.
We'll keep people in suspense. X amount. We don't have any endpoint plan, but we'll just...
Hey. Just keep this thing rocking and rolling as long as we can go. So, ladies, once again, Podnuts Pro, I am Marvin B., your host, and I am here with the incomparable Matt Rainey. Matt, how have you been this past week?
Pretty good, I guess. I don't remember much about the past week. A lot happening, and it's just a big blur.
You know what? I was up so late on Sunday that I actually was walking into my bedroom, getting ready to roll into bed, and I watched the clock go from 2 to 3 like that.
In the morning?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I wanted to see if time really flew.
Yes. Okay. See, I just slept right all through that because I don't even worry about daylight savings time. I forget it even happens. Until I wake up. And I don't even know. My iPhone changes time automatically. And I really just don't even know how long I slept.
That's true. So, yep. So that was, that wasn't my whole weekend, but that was.
What are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to wait up and watch the clock.
I'm going to watch daylight savings pass me by.
Party time.
Yep.
How was Pi Day? Did you enjoy Pi Day?
I did not enjoy a pie.
I tried to enjoy pie.
And the reason I did not enjoy pie is because I am in the middle of my diet that I'm, well, actually, that's not the right word. I'm in the middle of losing my 10 pounds and 1 inch that I said I would lose at the beginning of the year.
So, well, if you're in the middle, one pie is not going to hurt. I'm on a diet too, and I tried to get pie, but I was unsuccessful in my pie ventures.
Well, my cheat day is going to be a cheat weekend. When I fly to Chicago tomorrow.
And I have to say, I'm going to say it, happy birthday, because recording a podcast on his birthday, the night before he flies out of town, that is our Marvin B.
Hey, it's all about the show, right? The show must go on.
I don't think that I will be recording a podcast on my birthday. I'm just giving you a heads up.
Okay.
Wait, and actually, my birthday does occur on a Wednesday.
Oh.
So I might just tell you right now, in August, there won't be a show, second week of August.
Well, no, I'll just find a replacement for you.
Oh, no. Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll do it.
Because I'm gonna find Martin Obando and make sure he's available that Wednesday.
Hey, he might be. He might be back on the show full time by then because his obligations that he has now not be around then.
That is true.
Maybe I should just do it anyway because, you know, that's how you lose your starting spot is to give up one start and someone else comes in and does better.
That's right. There could be a Tom Brady of podcasting waiting in the wings and you could be the Drew Bledsoe.
And I'm not going to give him that shot.
Hey, Drew Bledsoe, you know, he's still got a Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, I take his career. It's fine. Yeah,
I mean, he didn't get 5 or however many TB12 has.
Well, you know, he's only got one more than me, so.
That's true.
Bledsoe.
But he's got a lot more starts in the NFL than you, so.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
All right, so, yeah, you mentioned that I am flying out tomorrow. The night that we're taping this is the 15th of March, and the conference in Chicago, the ABA Tech Show, started today, but I'm not flying up until tomorrow, and I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, flying back Sunday. I'll be meeting some of our Podnuts community friends up there. They're not going to the conference. They're just all in the area, and we're going to do a few hangout sessions. So I'll see Paco. I'll see John Lubinsky, Dubinsky, Lori Tissanai, or however you say her name. I'm sorry, Lori.
So there's nothing being recorded. It's just a group of people hanging out.
Yeah, it's time with Uncle Marv is what this is. I've got a Thursday night. I've got some old college people I'm hanging out with. Friday night will be the computer concepts night. Saturday night is dinner with Uncle Marv at a burger bar.
At a burger bar?
It's called The Burger Bar, actually.
The Burger Bar.
Yep.
Are you going to go with the burger?
I'm not sure. I gotta check with the wife and see what I'm allowed to do. So.
Oh.
I mean, I'm going to break some rules, but I got to pick which ones I'm going to break.
I guess you could go with a tofu burger and sweet potato fries.
I know this is a family-friendly podcast, but hell no. Oh, my. All right. So, yeah. So, I got to pack tonight. I got to pack my, I found a coat that I haven't worn since either 1999 or 2000. I don't know which. But I have a coat. I have my two sweatshirts, my jacket, and my pullover.
Should be good. Might need a hat.
I got to find a hat and scarf.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs.
I have no earmuffs. I have gloves.
I think you need some earmuffs.
And as you can see, I'm letting some hair grow.
That's not really going to save you, that amount of hair.
It's not, but it's a mental thing. So, I just need I need your beard now, and that would
it does help in the cold. I don't feel any wind when the wind blows in my beard section.
God bless you. All right, so let's instead of just going into stories, let's make sure that we get to Tom Wilmot's email and address part two of what he sent us last week. Can we do that?
Sounds good.
All right. And for those of you that do not remember, basically part one of Tom's email is the important part where he wanted to say that you guys do a great show and the info is fantastic.
Right. Again, that's how every email should start to us. You know, I don't think we mention our email address enough because some people have emailed other addresses. So just real quick before we read Tom's email, if you want to email us, podnutspro@podnuts.com is where you can email us.
Yes.
I don't think we mentioned that.
We probably don't, and if we had a producer, he would remind us, or she. So we'll have to produce ourselves.
Yeah. Well, we just did, so we can maybe say it at the end as well.
All right. Good job. So the second part of Tom's email from last week reads, something I know Matt has knowledge of is WatchGuard. I have worked with one financial client that had one, and I plan to make that my go-to brand for firewall/UTM. I've heard they are good in that they have ease of use from one model to the next, as the dashboard is standard? Maybe Matt could talk to this, and what does he like about WatchGuard?
So, the number one thing I like about WatchGuard is that they're red. And they're easily identifiable in the rack for customers. And I like that they're called watchdogs by customers. But other than that, as far as technical aspects, first the dashboard. That's WatchGuard System Manager. That's the software that you use to administer the WatchGuard. And that is the same. You use that same software to administer any model WatchGuard. And the OS is the same on all WatchGuards. So it doesn't matter if you're configuring a low end like a T10 or a 330 or a 4000, M4000, doesn't matter. The interface is going to look the exact same. The only thing you have different is the models may have different interfaces on them. So a T30 you might have four interfaces, and a higher model could have 8, 10, however many interfaces. That's the only difference. So if you can use WatchGuard System Manager, you can use it on any device, and it's the standard across all devices. So That's the dashboard you mentioned. As far as the things I like about them, technically, I think they're easy to use. I tried things like SonicWall before WatchGuard, and I didn't find the interface easy for me. I thought it was confusing. Went to SonicWall, and it just, for me, it clicked. I know some people think opposite.
You mean WatchDog clicked.
Right. Some people think the WatchGuard is confusing and the SonicWall. It really is just a matter of what you learned. So if I had stuck with SonicWall and learned SonicWall, I would probably think the interface is easy. I've been doing WatchGuard for, 10 plus years? I think WatchGuard is easy. But I thought it was easy at the beginning as well. We use things as far as the features. I like the features. The proxies that can do content filtering, SMTP proxies, HTTP proxies. You can do content filtering, web blocker service. If you just want to filter on categories of websites, I like the VPNs. The VPNs are easy to set up, site to site, mobile user. I like that. I think they're easy to configure. I like that you can configure it with Active Directory. So a user who's using a mobile VPN can use the same username and password as Active Directory because they don't need another password to call you to reset. Traffic monitor, so you can see all the traffic coming in and out. Host watch, you can block things or see traffic from one computer. I mean, there's so many things inside the WatchGuard. I probably am missing a lot, but I like the features. I think they're easy to use and configure, easy to monitor, easy to manage. And again, I'm sure that you probably feel the same way about SonicWall.
For the most part, I do. Now, I probably don't use the SonicWall as extensively as you use the WatchGuard, but I use SonicWall enough that I know it pretty much inside and out. And it wasn't the case in the beginning. I wasn't, some people think I've always been a SonicWall guy, and that's not the case. I didn't start SonicWall until one of my clients needed to do VPN between three offices, and they actually had contracted another IT provider to do some stuff, and they brought in the SonicWalls. Even though I told them, look, SonicWalls are nice, SonicWalls are expensive, but that's not going to solve your problem. And about 6 months later, they realized it didn't solve their problem, so they kicked out the IT company, but we kept the SonicWalls. So at that time, that was a great way for me. I'd already been using them for that client, and they were, for me, the next step up in what I was currently using, which was just basically the business version of whatever box store router that I ran across. So in SonicWall has a lot of the same things that you mentioned. Terminology is a little different. You have web blocker. We have content filtering. That's just the naming of it. Your proxy stuff we have is just simply, they have access rules in terms of what they set up. They have they do have the gateway antivirus, the intrusion prevention, anti-spyware, and the application control. So a lot of the same features, they're just done differently.
Right. And that's one thing, I don't know if I mentioned it, they have things like advanced persistent threat, which when traffic is coming into your device, if it doesn't know what it is, it allows it through, but then it sends that traffic or that whatever it is, attachment, whatever, it sends it up to WatchGuard. WatchGuard analyzes it in their little world, probably a sandbox, and actually run it. And then now they know what it is, so they can block things pretty bad. Now, the one it let through, if it is bad, it will send an alert to you when you set up the advanced persistent threat. It'll notify you, hey, we let this through, it's bad. Might want to check on it. But for other people in other parts of the world, it knows that this is bad and it'll block it. Now, unfortunately, as WatchGuard described it to me, it's the first person takes one for the team. But after that, they can block it quickly. They have reputation-enabled events, which is, and it's nice because they call it red, right? Red WatchGuard is red. That just can quickly block or allow a site based on a score of if the website is good or bad, which people report on. So now the SonicWalls, they're just a bland color, right? They're not any snappy color.
Well, I'm sure WatchGuard, must have done a, patent on red or something, because SonicWall's done all the other colors. They started out with the blue and gray in their old TZ series. Then they went to white. for the TZ series. And their next level up, which is their Enterprise class and higher, were gray. So they just recently went to black. And they didn't do it at the beginning of the Obama administration, so there's no relation, no correlation there. But they just went to black for their TZ series, and they actually that's their kind of like their entry level, which is pretty good for offices up to, 50, 60 people. And then when you get above that, if you have an office with 100, you're supposed to step up to the NSA series, which is their enterprise. That is also black. But if you want to go up to the full blown enterprise level, they have a super massive series. And that is the gray series.
Who named that? Supermassive.
I don't know. It sounds good. It looks big.
It sounds like I'm going to get a router the size of a Volkswagen.
I'm sure that's for data center, so you and I probably will never see it unless we, start our own data center.
I want to give a couple quick tips on the WatchGuard, because these are the things that I come across all the time.
All right.
You can figure. So, and these are things by default that I think should not be set by default. And here's one thing, though. On feedback, WatchGuard, when they have new releases, they change default settings based on how users are actually using this. So I know they just released 11.12. These may be different in 11.12. 11.11 and prior, these settings are off by default, and they really should be on. So one of them is if you're doing Gateway Antivirus, which we use Gateway Antivirus on most of them as long as we can get the customer to approve it. And, of course, that's in addition to any desktop antivirus. Everyone should have the Gateway Antivirus.
Yep.
There's an option in the Gateway Antivirus, and it's in the advanced options, to scan compressed files. And this is off by default, which means by default it won't scan any zip files coming through your WatchGuard. So in the advanced options on the Gateway Antivirus, you should check that. And then it's going to, by default, it'll have, once you check it, three layers deep, which is fine. I leave it on three layers deep, but at least you're scanning zip files. Now, this may be off because by default, I believe the Gateway Antivirus blocks all zip files. So why scan it if it's blocked? But you can't really, in today's world, block zip files, right? You can't. You'll get so many calls that they're not getting. So I allow zip files, and then I just scan them, make sure that it's set to, because you might see in the content filtering in the Gateway Antivirus, well, look, it's blocking zip files. I'm going to remove that. But then the default setting is to not scan compressed files. So you've got to enable that.
Yeah, and that is similar in the SonicWall too. They, even though the Gateway Antivirus may be on, you do have to go in and make sure that things like the zip files and the packed executables, VBA scripts, all that, you actually have to go in and check those to make sure they get scanned. Yeah.
So hopefully they're going to enable that, and I'm sure there's some reason why they have that set as default. I just don't know what it is, and just check it. The next thing, and this happened to me last night, I got a call, or I got an email, that they couldn't browse any websites. They were getting a message about the WebBlocker service could not be reached. So what happens if you have WebBlocker, when you go to a website, whatever it is, msn.com, mbsystems.net, whatever it is.
You're going to get blocked if you go to mbsystems.net.
So WatchGuard says, what is the category of this website? And the way it finds it is it does a request to the WebBlocker service, which is hosted by WatchGuard. If that service is down, it can't categorize a website. So when a service is down, by default, it's set to block traffic. So what I would say is, if you're using WebBlocker, personally, I say, if the WebBlocker service is down, and it doesn't go down very often, to allow traffic. I think that users are trained. If they have WebBlocker, they know where they can and can't go. They go to the same sites every day. They're trained. They're not going to notice if WebBlocker is down once in a while. They're going to go to the site that they're going to say, like somebody's running through the office saying, hey, WebBlocker's down, WebBlocker's down. we can go wherever we want. It's not going to happen, right? Well, but you will get...
For some clients.
Well, we can go wherever we want, Facebook it all up. But when it's down and they're trying to go to a site, you're going to know about it because they're going to call you. I'd rather let the site, let the traffic go and hope that they're not going where bad for that few seconds or minutes that the web blocker service is down. So allow traffic if the web blocker service is down. There's also a setting if web blocker service is expired. So if you don't renew your license or you don't renew that feature, it's just going to deny traffic. And where I see this a lot is you might buy a WatchGuard with 1 year service on it. And you go and you configure it all. You put your web blocker in, you put your categories, and the client decides not to renew it. So you think, well, it'll just expire. Yes, it will expire and it will block all your traffic. Because by default, it's set for when the web blocker license expires, deny all traffic. So I say just set that to allowed. That way, if they do expire, they're allowed traffic. So two quick tips.
That's odd because I know the Sonic Wall actually by default, once it expires, it just basically turns all the services off, and then, you know, it's the wild, wild west. So that's interesting. Now, on the content filtering, there is an option, too, where, yes, you do have to go in and say if the service is down, and you have the option to block all traffic or allow all traffic.
So, right, and that's just for WebBlocker, because if you have proxies set up, you can set up proxies with no license, without any APT or any, it just, if you have a proxy set up and that proxy is using WebLocker or it's using application control, those settings just won't take effect anymore. But WebLocker will block you if it's expired. But all the other services just don't work. I mean, it just, like you said, it's Wild Wild West and it just lets whatever happen. But WebLocker will let you know it's expired and you will get 100 phone calls that the web blocker is denying traffic. And then you'll say, oh, I was supposed to set that to allow. I know Matt told me that.
No, that's where you say, oh, it must have, you need to pay more.
What they want you to do is say, oh, yes, it's defaulted to a secure mode. It's protecting you. Do you really want us to disable this protection and allow your users to go wherever they want? And then the user's supposed to say, oh my goodness, no, we need to renew this.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So one of the things that I like about SonicWall, and you can tell me how you do this in WatchGuard, is I have what's called a global management system. And it's there's two versions. There's an appliance version, which is the one that I have, and then there's a software version, which you can download and run on your own box in-house, to where I can see all of my Sonic Walls from one dashboard, and I can drill down and see the traffic for, you know, either each Sonic Wall individually or for customers that have VPNs. I can see how much traffic is going, you know, from one office to the other. And to be honest, that's one of the reasons that when I got introduced to the Sonic Wall, I fell in love with the Sonic Wall because, I mean, granted, I didn't know all the appliance vendors at the time, but all of the ones that I had seen up to that point, none of them were offering something like that where I can manage all my devices from my office, you know, short of, you know, remoting in to each office. I don't even have to remote in. I can control all their stuff from my office here. How do you guys do that with the WatchGuard?
So is that a separate license you have to buy?
Yes,
it is a separate license.
It is separate.
So if you don't have that license, you have to, can you access the router directly, or do you have to log into one of their systems to access the router?
I can log into the router directly. I mean, I can, you know, obviously, you know, set up remote access to the router. I can still do that stuff, but I could actually, you know, on my screen, I can see all the traffic for all my routers, and I can tell, okay, which office is generating the most traffic just by doing a sort.
But how do you log? Is it a web interface you use, or like WatchGuard has a WatchGuard system manager, and then you say connect to this device?
It is a, well, my system is a web interface to my system, And then basically it does the same as if I were sitting at the office and I wanted to, say, drill down to a router. Most of the information is what's being pushed from the router back to my system. So I don't actually have to log into the router to see that. I can see the traffic from my system.
So if you want to manage a router that's just not in that global, and I like the hyperboles of SonicWall, global manager. I thought you were going to run in the whole world, but
every single router out there I have access to.
I'm going to log into my global management system and I'm going to manage a super massive.
I control the world with my super massive router.
But is there an application you had to install, or is it just you just go to like your web browser?
Well, here's the thing. It's like I said, it's either hardware based, which I have an actual appliance. It's basically a server here in my office, or you can download the software, and it's a web interface in the software where it's almost like a VPN connection from my office to each SonicWall router, and my SonicWalls will all push information to this system, or this system will go and extract that information out so that I don't actually have to connect to each router individually to see it. But if I want to control a specific router, if I do want to make changes, to any of the filters or anything, all I do is right click on the router and log into the unit, and then I'm in the web interface of that particular unit.
Okay, so in the same WatchGuard system manager software, when you open it, you've got connect to server or connect to device. Connect to device allows you to connect directly to a router, a WatchGuard. The connect to server allows you to connect to a WatchGuard server. And when you connect to a server, you can attach different WatchGuards to that server. So if I open up my WatchGuard server, all the ones that I have tied to that server, I just like you said, I can drill down to each one without having to log into it directly. I don't need to know its IP address. I don't need to know anything. I just know it's tied to my WatchGuard server, and from my server, I can see a list of them.
Okay, but WatchGuard manages that server for you.
No, it's different. It says WatchGuard server, but it's just a software thing. It's just they're all tied back to. They're all tied back to our account.
Okay. All right. So it's similar.
Yeah. And it is a separate license to be able to tie that like that.
Okay. I just didn't want people to think that, if they buy either a SonicWall or a WatchGuard, that they get all of these things built into the router. So something where you're doing, in my case, global management, or in your case, system monitoring.
System manager.
Yeah.
It's not global or universal or any other kind of super massive stellar object.
Speaking of stellar, as soon as we're done with this, I got a story to tell you.
Okay. I'm anticipating it to be a stellar story.
All right, so anything else you want to mention about the WatchGuard that you think listeners want to know, that the things that you like about it and why? Because, to be honest, a lot of techs like WatchGuard.
I think it's just ease of use. I mean, I really like Traffic Manager, and I like the VPN. We use it every day. Everyone's running a VPN now. The proxies, the traffic, it's just, and again, I'm sure SonicWall has that. I like the way WatchGuard does it. And I'm wondering if SonicWall doesn't do Red, maybe Red's more expensive to produce. So maybe only WatchGuard does it. Only wants to pay to produce the red plastic.
The premium.
So,
well, SonicWall is being a little bit more inclusive with its, black, white, gray. Okay, crickets are quite loud here. Let's move along.
Oh, one thing I think would be interesting. I think SonicWall and WatchGuard are probably the two top devices that small businesses use, don't you think?
Small businesses.
If they're using business class routers,
well,
UTMs.
I don't think they are unless
you. Is there another player that I'm missing?
Well, here's what happens. I think for small business, most of them let's not try to segregate techs, but you know, most techs that are just getting started are going to just grab what they can from the botch store, which you're going to find what your Linksys / Cisco business class routers, your Netgears, which is where I started in the beginning with, you know, the Linksys RV series when I just first started doing firewalls. But I think if you're getting to the point where you're supporting businesses and you want to provide that next level of service, because think about it, those routers, and I don't know how many of them do or don't now, they didn't offer any of those gateway services, you know, the gateway antivirus, the intrusion prevention. You know, from as far as my perspective, when I was looking at this in 2005, SonicWall was the first one that I came across that did that, where I could say to people, look, I can provide you more security and more business class features with the SonicWall than I can with these other routers. Because they were just routers. Now, we've moved up, and we had that discussion a few weeks ago where the gentleman, you know, called us out for saying that they're, you know, a router. But the SonicWall and the WatchGuards are basically appliances that do so much more than routing.
But as far as if you're taking a step up from the what you can get at the local store, though,
then those would be the first. Yeah, those two, I think, would be the most popular.
I would love to do a thing. I don't know if you can get somebody from SonicWall or WatchGuard. I would love to have them compare. Like, say, for instance, here's how we do VPN. Here's how WatchGuard does VPN. Here's how SonicWall handles intrusion prevention. Here's what WatchGuard is doing for intrusion protection. Just to see what's different about them. Because, really, how are you supposed to know? What kind of scanning does the gateway antivirus for SonicWall do? What kind of scanning? What engine? What ask WatchGuard? What makes your device better than SonicWall? And I'd love to see how they compare to each other.
You know, I wonder why nobody has ever. I mean, basically, you're talking about a face-off,
right?
Oh, I mean, you know, that would be the fact. Can you get both of them together to do that at the same time? Otherwise,
even if it's separate, even right. If you talk to SonicWall saying, "Talk to me about your VPN connections." And now we know that WatchGuard wins on appearance. I mean, so we can leave that out.
Right, if you like red. I mean, but, you know, always,
you could tell your
always
client,
bet on black is what I say.
You could tell your client, look, go into the rack and just reboot that black thing.
My clients know not to go in and reboot anything.
Well, if they needed to. You can't really say, you see that black box? Just power that off and power it back on.
Well, here's what I would say to that, and I don't mean to digress, but I would have a Watt box in that server room, so I wouldn't have to tell my customer to go in and reboot anything.
That's true. I had to recommend that to two people this week.
The Watt box?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, because one person has a NVR system, and it keeps locking up on them, and the person who put it in place doesn't know why it keeps locking up. Well, they called me. And they said, can you fix this? I said, well, I don't really want to touch their NVR. They're the ones who you bought it from them. They manage it. You have an agreement with them. They need to fix their equipment, right? I mean, if I touch it, they might say, well, I made it worse.
Right.
So he said, well, I don't like having to drive over there and reboot it when it locks up. So, of course, he wants to know, how can I reboot it when it locks up? And, of course, and this was the day after last show when we talked about it. I said, well, you need a Watt box. And then somebody else has an old terminal server that keeps locking up. Oh, an O3 terminal server that they need to have one.
That thing needs to die as opposed to lock up.
Well, one day I'm waiting for it to not come back up after they power cycle it. So that's two. This just this past week that need that.
Well, I can tell you this. I will vouch for the Watt box, and I told you I'm going to put it in every office that I can, because I did install that last week, and I did do the upgrade that I was going to do, and it was actually kind of laughable, because I started Friday night, just like I had done the week before, and I had gotten to probably late Saturday afternoon, and I had done a couple of restarts, and, you know, the wife is kind of, you know, paying attention, and she's like, well, have you had to use it yet? And I'm like, well, no, but go figure. I go put this in and I don't get a lockup at all. And wouldn't you know it, that probably around 6 o'clock Saturday night, it locked up and I lost connection. And so I called her in. logged in. I said, okay, watch what I'm going to do. Went
this
in.
Is Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Boy, we got some exciting times at the B household. Yeah,
that's
on
right.
Saturday nights.
So
I'm going to use my Wattbox.
I logged in, showed her what the outlet was tagged for, and I said, I'm going to hit this button. And in 3 to 4 minutes, that'll be right back up. And sure enough, it was. And
nice. So she sounds more technical savvy than my wife.
She just likes to watch.
If I had told my wife to come watch me reboot something, she'd be like, are you crazy?
So,
I'm talking about getting the Wattbox and putting it on the TV just to mess with my family once in a while.
Oh, that's cruel.
Shut
okay,
it off.
So is this a step up from getting the channel changer app on your phone?
Yeah, I can just shut the TV off. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And then secretly I can turn it back on and say, just try it again. Oh, now it works.
So didn't mean to derail, but the Wattbox, yeah, I am going to recommend that for my clients, and I will tell Tex, if you live more than 15 minutes away from a client, you need to put a Wattbox in their server room.
Yeah, I think so. They're pretty cool.
So, all right. So back to WatchGuard. Any last things that we, you know, touch on everything that, you know, you think Tom wants to know about why you like WatchGuard?
I think we've touched enough. Because there's so many things. You can go for days and days on different features.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think
the short answer is I like the interface. I like the features. That's pretty much the short answer.
All right. And maybe someday we'll, this show will evolve to the point where we can call out Sonic Wall and WatchGuard for a face-off. And
that'd be nice.
We could have a video presentation. Sonic Wall.
Maybe they need to go to the Unconvention. Maybe they need to be invited to the Unconvention.
I will present that to the planning committee.
Because if you do, if they like that, I have contacts for some of the sales and marketing guys.
All right. I will. We have a planning committee meeting next week. I'll bring that up.
And when I go to the Unconvention, I can wear my WatchGuard shirt. It's red, by the way.
Imagine that.
I know. And you need to get a Sonic Wall shirt.
I have no such thing.
Sonic Wall hasn't given you a shirt? See, WatchGuard gave me a shirt. A nice polo shirt.
That's because they were soliciting your business. Sonic Wall has me.
No, actually, they gave it to me for getting WatchGuard certified.
Oh, well. I have no idea. I'm not Sonic Wall certified. I probably should look into that. But, in full disclosure, I have been on a nice Sonic Wall run that I think it's time for me to look at some other WatchGuards. I did look at Fortinet last year when you asked about other providers out there, and not ready for Fortinet.
I think WatchGuard can do everything you need.
So maybe I'll look at that. So anyway, so before we lose this, I wanted to tell you about this Stellar event.
Oh, yeah.
And part of the reason that I was up so late watching the Daylight Savings is because I got hooked on a Star Wars marathon.
Oh, my goodness. This we should have started with this.
So let me first rephrase. I shouldn't say hooked. Because I was, you know, working, I happened to be changing channels, looking for something to just be on in the background while I work. And what do you know? Star Wars. And
Lucky you.
It was something about the clones was the one movie.
Attack of the Clones?
Okay. If you say so. And it was the... Because that was not the original 4, 5, and 6. So that was 1 or 2 or something.
That was 2. And
okay.
Yeah, you really should watch 4, 5, and 6.
Well, I first. Kind of yeah. So you know they had the young Skywalker. Which one? Okay, let me rephrase this because I don't know at which point I was watching which movie. Because I was trying to figure out the whole deal with Anakin Skywalker,
right.
And his son, and they were talking as if the son is the one that became Darth Vader.
No, Anakin.
Anakin became Darth Vader.
Yes.
So the son was Luke.
Correct.
Okay.
And you see Luke being born at the end of Episode 3.
Oh, so I didn't see that.
Yeah, you Attack of the Clones was episode 2.
Okay, so Anakin was the young, so that's what it was, because
somebody was... Well, he was a really, really young boy in episode 1, where he's doing the pod racing.
I didn't see that either. What I saw was somebody, I think it was it Obi-Wan, that noticed the Force in Anakin, and the council with Yoda, and all the people were saying the Force is strong as this one, it's stronger than we've ever seen.
I think that's episode 1. Oh, but that's okay. When Anakin was a little boy with blonde hair and a little bowl cut.
Yes, yes. Okay,
so that's episode 1.
Okay, so that's 1. So I remember parts of 1.
Wow, you really need to...
I remember the clones. But then everything's a blur. Yeah, I was doing... I get a story about Fab's auto backup, so... and then all of a sudden, I realize I'm watching the one where Han Solo dies. With the older Harrison Ford. The Force Awakens.
Oh, the new one, yeah.
The Force Awakens.
That was on... You watched that?
Yeah, that was on... actually, that was into Sunday, I think. I was watching that.
Okay. So how do you watch... You watch HBO, or is it on Showtime? Or?
No, it was on a... it was Stars or something like that. Okay.
So some movie channel.
Yeah, it was a movie channel. Because we pay for all of them, because the wife doesn't care what it costs.
So, yeah, but you need to watch 4, 5, and 6 first. You need to watch... I recommend people watch them order of release. 4, 5, and 6, and then suffer through 1, 2, 3, and then go back to 7.
Yeah, it was hard to watch those early ones. I mean, 4, 5, and 6 I knew, because it was funny, because the wife had come in, and I don't remember which one that... not Billy Dee Williams. Is that Billy Dee Williams? Yeah. So that was the one that she...
Okay, so you see him on Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Which is the best Star Wars, in my opinion.
That's the one where he tricked them into coming back someplace, and Darth Vader was there, and they captured them.
Right, they went
them,
to Cloud City. And they were fleeing. They went to Cloud City.
Uh-huh.
And that's where Billy Dee Williams was, also known as Lando Calrissian.
Right, and they encased Han Solo in that...
in the backup software. Carbonite.
Carbonite, yes.
They could have encased him in Mosey or something else.
So I got bits and pieces, and then I saw Han Solo die and that Chicky take over as the... that was the last one you said. She... Yeah, the girl grabbed the lightsaber after everybody was killed, and she fights off the small Darth Vader character.
Darth Vader.
And then she flies off to someplace, and Carrie Fisher, she's old and baggy in this one, and she hugs the girl, and then she flies off to this land and climbs up the hill or the mountain and sees Luke Skywalker there, and she holds out the lightsaber, and that's how it ends.
Right.
So is that the latest release? Like, is there another one after that?
That's it. The next one comes out in December.
And that one's called The Last Jedi.
Right.
Is that her?
Okay, so there's a translation into other languages about what The Last Jedi is, and in English, it doesn't reflect, but in other languages, it's plural. You might see The Last Jedi being singular, The Last Jedi. But in translations in other languages, it's actually a plural, like more like The Last of the Jedi, plural. So, not that there's one.
Oh.
It's The Last Jedi generation people.
So it could be like The Last of the Mohicans.
Right.
But there's no plural for Jedi, so it's The Last Jedi.
Right.
Because you can't say The Last of the Jedi.
Right. So other languages, it's designated as plural. Whatever they named it when they translated it, it's plural.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
now we're going to see. Hopefully, we get to see why Luke runs off and be as a baby for 30 years or whatever, however long he is hiding.
Because nobody wanted him to act in anything else. I don't know. So I just want to let everybody know, I was watching the Star Trek.
Wars.
Or Star Wars.
Oh, we got a ways to go still. I'm sorry. We got a ways to go.
I'm sorry, because Voyager was on last night, so I was
watching. Baby steps. Baby steps.
I was watching Voyager, and they were trying to grab a Borg clone, so.
Okay, so you need to watch 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3, then 7 before 8 comes out.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. I was just happy that I left it on the channel and paid attention.
You're almost at a point where you can talk about Star Wars. Not yet. It's important to call it Star Wars and not Star Trek.
These are not the clones you seek.
It's a good first step. It's a good first step. So we'll keep a surprise of any more.
I will.
Baby steps in the Star Wars universe.
Will do. Okay. So I think we've finished up on the Watchguard v. Sonic Wall. We've talked about Wattbots, which we mentioned last week. And I want to say a quick thing about Fab's auto backup. Because I mentioned that I use that, and one of the reasons that I fell in love with it was the fact that I could do a simultaneous backup of every profile, not just on a computer, but on a terminal server. And this past weekend, I did the 26 profile transfers from an old terminal server to the new one. And the fact that I could just simply go through and select all the profiles, do the backup, let that run overnight on Friday. Saturday, when I went in to do the restore, I simply logged in as an administrator, got everything set up, got all the software done and everything. And then as long as I had the way that I do it, and I don't think this has to be the way, but I think you can actually do it to where the accounts are created as the restorations take place. But I like to go in and log in as each user, get that initialized on the server, and then I go back as an admin. And from my administrative login, I open up Fabs, and I can just simply restore every single profile from that one screen. Now, you have to do it one at a time. You can't do it in mass like you can the backup. But I just simply select the first user, do the restore, let them finish. Go back, select the next user, restore, let that finish. And then I can go in as each user and make sure everything works and their Outlook opens and has the right password and all of that. So I've used this for a couple of years that way. That's the one reason I love Fabs. But this past weekend, I ran into an issue where I realized that all of a sudden, after the first profile, the second and third profiles did not have all of the Outlook working. So it did not set up the account and did not work properly. They had just updated to a new version of Fab's auto backup, so I quickly sent an email to support. And I just have to say, Fabrice, the person that created Fab's auto backup, the product's named after him, is the one that responded to me and basically said, hey, send me what you got in terms of a couple of the profiles and let me look at it. And I'm telling you, in basically a day, now, because I didn't respond immediately right away, I had to get the work done. I didn't wait for support. But after I got back to him, from the time that I sent him the files to the day that he got it fixed was literally less than a day. And wow. So he's got that problem fixed. He identified what the issue was, said, yes, it's a glitch, and said he'd fix it. And basically, like 2 hours later, it was fixed.
Hmm. That's pretty awesome. Now, this is this is Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro you're using?
Yes.
So that's a technician license. Basically, you can run it wherever you want?
Correct.
That is nice software, and that's really good support.
It's nice software, and I'm telling you, we've been talking about it for years on Podnuts. Mike Smith talked about it. It's a cheap piece of software for what it does. This thing could easily sell for much, much more, and I'd be happy to pay.
And how much is it? Do you know?
It's like, well, with discounts and stuff, I think I paid like 40 something bucks for the last one.
And where do you get these discounts you speak of?
So somewhere on Podnuts, there's a discount.
Is podnuts.com/deals? Is it there?
Could be. Let's take a quick look.
When you click that link, it takes you to the single license. If you scroll down to the bottom of that page, you can see Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro.
Right.
Click on that, and that takes you to...
Yeah. Now, for most people, if you're just doing simple computer repair, the single license is probably fine. But I'm telling you, if you're a technician and you want to be able to back up and restore profiles multiple times, like I do with the terminal server. I mean, it's $45 European, whatever that translates into English.
It's 45 E's.
So whatever an E is, it's 45 of those.
How many dollars? But that equates to, right now, 48.28 U.S. dollars. So $48. Now, the pro says multiple user profiles at a time. This allows you to select other hard drives than the current system drive.
Correct.
Direct users' data transfer from old hard drive, slave, or USB mounted to the new computer. So if you're not doing it on your computer, I would say you need the pro license.
Correct. And perfect example is that I just did that today with a system that I got yesterday where somebody tried to do their own repair work because they thought they had a virus and tried to use a rescue CD that they made from some product and ended up blowing up their system so that when they went to go start from the hard drive, it basically said no operating system found. So I got the system in, pulled the drive, looked at it. Actually, everything was there, but what they did was they made the restore partition the boot partition. And if I tried to make the restore partition active, then it would say no operating system found. But the Windows partition was perfectly intact, so I just simply stuck that onto a USB extension. They were actually getting a new computer, so I put up a new computer and attached that by USB, went to Fabs Auto Backup, and transferred the profile from the old hard drive and the old system to the new system. And with an SSD drive, was basically less than 10 minutes.
Nice. Good job. Well done. Yeah, Fabs, definitely a tool that you need. So I got a couple quick things.
Yeah.
And I don't use Android. Do you use Android?
I do not.
You do not.
These are not the droids you seek.
These are definitely not the droids. I'm not gonna. Well, I don't want to put Android down. I just don't use it. I don't like it. Okay. So, got a call from a client. In Outlook, the mail would pop up in the inbox and then go away. Right. So in Outlook, new email, ding, whatever, new unread message. One, all of a sudden, goes away, gone. So normally, when you get this call, it's some kind of rule in Outlook.
Right.
Right? They try to configure rule, and they did it wrong, or it's a filter on the view to only show you unread messages. So when it's marked as red, it just disappears. That's usually what I've seen, a bad rule or a filter. This computer, no rules, no filters. So what's doing it? So in Outlook, see a folder called Unwanted, and all the mails are in there. But there's no message rule.
All the mail?
All the mail he's looking for is in there. So apparently this just started. This just started. So, but there's no message rule in Outlook. There's no rule. There's no filter. What's doing this? So something's changed.
Right.
Ask them what's changed. Well, nothing's changed. Nothing changed. Did you get a new phone? Yeah, I got a new phone. Well, what'd you get? I have an Android. Okay. Android, luckily for them, they're go-getters. There's a spam filter on the phone.
What?
On the phone. And somehow their domain name got listed as spam in the phone.
Their own domain.
Their own domain got added as spam in the phone. So the phone's off, then this wouldn't happen. Outlook would have the mail, but as soon as Outlook, the phone would be turned on, it would process these things, mark them as spam, and delete them, or put them as unwanted folder. I didn't know that Androids had their own built-in spam filter. So it's an ActiveSync account, but yet it's got, like Outlook, has junk email, right?
Right, yeah.
So this has a spam filter built in, and this is what was doing it, his own domain. So if you have Android, I guess you need to make sure that it's not filtering things that you want, because that's another place that email could be affected.
So you had to go into the person's phone and into their, they have an actual settings for spam that you can, you can unlist the domains. Like, do they compile a list?
Yeah, it was a list. And for some reason, his domain name was in that list.
Okay.
So remove it and then problem solved. So, but I had no idea that Android had a spam filter. Personally, I don't see the point, especially if you're using an Exchange account that probably already has spam filtering. You don't need it done on the phone as well, because that's tied to your ActiveSync account, which is affecting his desktop, right? Because it's marking it as unwanted. I didn't like it. Another reason I don't care for Android.
Well, you know, I will make the deference to the Android App Addicts. And maybe because, you know, they're all about Android, so maybe the door-to-door geek would have an answer for us.
Maybe. I could see it for maybe a POP account or something that's not doing any kind of filtering, like an ISP account. You know, those they aren't doing any filtering at Cox.net or at ATT.net. But corporate domains and are going to have spam filtering.
Right. Could you turn the spam filter off on the phone?
I didn't look to see if we could turn it off. I don't know. I'm sure you could. Just like when you set up an, I don't know if it still does it, but when you would set up an Android device with ActiveSync, by default, it would also sync text messages. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember the app.
So text messages would come in as emails also?
Yeah, would, I hate that.
Either text would show up in Outlook because they selected the sync text messages. I didn't like that feature either.
That was horrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first thing that happened, I'm getting all my texts and email. Like, I'm thinking, are you crazy? What are you talking about? And yeah, it's because they chose to sync text messages. Thank you, Android.
All right. So that was number one. What was number two?
And so I know I've talked about the Microsoft account. I think I mentioned you could have 30 Office
licenses
on one account.
Right.
And after you have 30, you just can't add any more. I ran across another limitation. You can have 10 devices assigned to one Microsoft account. And devices are include Surface devices, Xbox, Microsoft bands. So the reason I came across this is because one of my clients likes to break their services all the time. I have three right now that are broken. They just drop them. So I go to register one, and you have to register it to get service. And you register it, and it says, "Yeah, I registered fine." But then you can't see it. I don't know if I mentioned this or not. Then you can't see it.
Well, you
I had to call Microsoft, and they said, "Oh yeah, you can register as many as you want, but you're only going to see 10."
Right. You mentioned that before, that you would register a device, and it would just, that one would be on the screen, but the oldest one would fall off.
Yeah, we just show 10. Okay, so I did mention that. Yeah, they just show 10. Like, which 10? Well, it's just 10. Oh, just 10? Okay. That's a good feature. And I had probably 30 or 40 registered. So they could see them on their end. They had to go delete a bunch of them until I could see 10 or less. That was crazy.
So did you do something similar where you had to create a second account for that client to register above 10?
No, because I didn't. And they said, "Oh, well, you should be able to click on it and click on unregister." I said, "Well, I can't."
Because you can't see it.
Well, no, even the ones I could see, I couldn't unregister those.
Oh.
It says, "Yeah, click on it. What happens when you click on it?" I said, "It asked me to select what's wrong with it. There's no deregister." "Oh, well, you should see it." "Well, I'm not." So you have to call them to unregister devices. So that's annoying. And I can't create a second one. Well, I could. But when you go to create a Microsoft account now, you can't create an account with any account that's registered with any kind of Office 365 connection.
Right.
So that's a waste. I'd have to create an Outlook.com account or something and then register more.
So yeah, we're going to run into that a lot because I know that, I mean, what are people going to do every time they want to buy, and we talked about this in the past, the Office products, where you, if you don't do a volume license, you have to activate it using a Microsoft account.
Yeah.
And for businesses, in our situation where you and I have businesses that may start off with just a few users and they grow, you know, and if they get to, you know, I think the limit was what you said, 30?
30.
you know, once a business is above 30, now granted, Microsoft would love for us to have the customer transition to volume licenses, but once you already start on the path of purchasing Home and Business Pro, or Home and Business, not Pro, but, you know, Office Home and Business for a few people, they're not going to want to spend another $377 to move to volume licensing when they already have, when they've already spent $229 for a Home and Business.
Yep. I mean, once you start down the OEM path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Consume you, it will. That's a Yoda quote, by the way. Except I don't think he said OEM path. I think he said dark path.
You know, it was funny because when I was watching the Star Wars movies, I was trying to figure out how old the dude was.
Right, well, he tells you.
Yoda? Yeah.
He tells you how old he is. He tells you in Empire Strikes Back, right before he dies. He tells Luke, when 900 years old you reach, look as good, you will not.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
But I'll watch it again soon. I'm sure it's on again.
So, I mean, yeah, if you know you're going to reach more than 30, you need to start off with open licenses. But usually when a business is getting started, they don't want to pay the extra money for open license. So,
well, they don't want to pay extra money for anything when they're just starting out.
Right. What they want to do is they want to get the home version of Office 365 and load it on 5 computers.
Absolutely.
That's what they want to do. So what they want you to do is either get an Office 365 subscription where you get hosted Exchange and the Office license. That's what they really want you to do, right? Because that's recurring revenue for
Absolutely.
Them. Or if you don't want to do that, get an open license. So, and the easier one of the two is probably just get the subscription.
Yes. It's an easier pill to swallow each month.
Right. So you get 40 users and then you're wondering why their bill is so much.
And then they look back over, we spent how much over the last 12 months?
The break-even point, I forget what it is, but like 2 years. I mean, if you do the subscription versus the all-out license, just buying the open license, but then you don't get upgrade rights. So, anyway. So we talked about Android. How about iPad, iPhone? I read an article that the iOS 10.3 is coming out, and there are some major changes that you just need to be aware of for your clients that are using iOS devices. And the major change is it's changing the file system on the phone to Apple File System. And Apple File System and the current file system, HFS Plus, not compatible. So if you don't like it, you can't just roll back. So you really need to do a full backup. And of course, when you do a backup, check the box that says to encrypt it to save your passwords. And that would be the only way you can roll back from 10.3 to 10.2, because the file system is going to change and something happens, you could lose all your data. From the articles I read, it sounded like it could be pretty bad. So yeah. It's a major, major upgrade. It really should be like 11. Not a point upgrade.
Right. And this is going to be happening really soon, because apparently it's already out in 10.3 beta.
The articles I read said sometime in March.
Oh, well, that's right around the corner.
Yeah. So as with any updates for iOS, I don't do them for a couple of weeks. I want to read the articles online about all the problems that they have before I do it. Or do what I do and upgrade your wife's phone first.
There you go.
But that could be a major thing. So just be aware of what that is doing. You want to just look up some articles about what 10.3 does and just know that it really should be 11.0. Because, of course, all your clients use iOS. I mean, nobody uses Android.
Nobody.
All the people I know that use Android have switched to iOS. Everyone. I don't know one person with an Android device.
Well, here's the thing. I don't personally interact with people every day that have Android. I do know some people that have Android. But
I don't know of anyone. I may know them, but not know what kind of phone. But anyone I know, and I know what kind of phone they have, or I see them with their phone, it's Apple. It's iOS.
Right. You may know them, but you don't know them.
they haven't disclosed their phone preference.
Because I think that, you know, the brand of phone that you use might be as hot a topic as, you know, what religion are you? You know, are you Republican or Democrat?
And even when I just see people out at coffee shops and places that I don't even see Android phones. I actually pay attention lately to see what I see people using.
Why are you so nosy? Why are you always looking at people's phones?
I'm nosy like that. I'm just curious. I'd like to see. I thought about switching to Windows Phone.
Oh, I'm not doing that. Come on now. My wife had a Windows phone, and it frustrated the living bejesus out of me because everybody, we were all doing stuff on iPad, and she's like, well, how do I do that on my phone? I'm like, I don't know.
Well, the new Surface phone should be coming out, and I really gave it some thought, and I'll have to see what it looks like, but I thought about using that. We'll see.
I probably won't ever use that unless I use a Surface Pro.
See, I'm not a fan of the Surface Pro. But I just thought about being a part of the 0.001%ers that use
the
Windows Phone.
With as much as you spend for lunch, you're part of the 1%. So let's not even go down that road.
You're the one who says they pray for all premium channels because they don't care what it costs.
Well, that's the wife. That's not me. That's the wife. Yeah. We separate our household.
I got you.
You know, I could really, I mean, I think I'm going to bring this up every week until you tell me otherwise. Because
you know
exactly what I'm going to talk about. Because who went in on me on a great, great deal to get a Fluke Network Assistant tool and hasn't used it yet?
I'm not sure who that is. I'll let you know if I think it's on the tip of my tongue.
Obando?
Is that Martin?
He's not here to defend himself. So
I know. I'm gonna go with Martin.
Actually, I think he has a Link Sprinter.
Okay, but you know that argument could go both ways. How many of them do you have?
I've got like 7.
Yeah.
I've got the original Net Tool. I've got the Etherscope. I've got the Cable IQ. I've got the Link Runner. I've got the Link Sprinter. I've got 2 One Touches. And what do you know? 7.
Call it the Two Touch. Okay, so I think you'd be losing this battle here. I may have one that I got at a good deal that I don't use that much, but you've got 7.
And I use mine all the time.
I do have that one, and I have the old DSP 9000.
Okay.
But that thing's 15 years old, and it still works, so. But that's just a cable tester.
Hey, flutes keep right on humming.
One day, I'm going to use that thing, and I'm going to tell you, I used it.
And you know what I'm going to say? Prove it. Prove it.
I'll have to use it live on air here. I have to bring it home and test this cable right here next to air. Or just plug into my network and see what I can find.
There we go.
Yeah. I can do the Wi-Fi analyzer because I've got all kind of Wi-Fi access points in my house.
You know what? Here's what we can start doing on this show. We can actually test products live on the air.
That'd be cool.
You know, and, you know, basically I could do a Fluke University just for you.
We can call it FU.
Yeah. I said, all right, everybody.
Time for our FU segment.
Pull out your flutes and let's go through this exercise tonight.
Whip out your fluke and it's time for FU.
All right. So, okay. I think we need to call this a wrap because
you got a pack and we still got a stack of emails, but we can save those till next week.
Yep. Well, I was going to say it's my birthday. The wife wants to see me.
That's right. It's your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I need to put that hat on and
that's right. I get my hat.
Yeah. So I didn't mention, I got a screenshot with Marvin in his birthday hat.
I think
I'm going to post that on the Podnuts Pro Twitter. I don't post much on that. I really try to, but as Yoda says, I do not. So, But I will post the and for your birthday, I will post that on the
podcast. And just so everybody knows, that was me in the throes of my office party that they surprised me with when I went out to do an appointment, came back, and my office was decorated, and of course this hat and button.
It's party time. You need to go out to dinner before you go?
No, that'll be when I get back. So,
I know we're gonna end, but I want to just real quick say a shout out to somebody. Here you go. I was Dave. Dave Sobel at Solar Winds. He sent us an email congratulating us on show 100. So I'm gonna say thanks, Dave.
All right, and that just goes to show you, folks, that people do listen. And we called out Solar Winds last week, and they responded. And that was a good response. So
yeah, very good.
Okay, all right. So let's end off the show here. And as per usual, gonna go to our good friend Mr. Benjamin Franklin. And basically, today's quote is: "One today is worth two tomorrows." Very succinct. So, ladies and gentlemen, we once again thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing to the show. On behalf of my co-host, Matt Rainey, I am Marvin B. And until next week, have yourselves a good time, and you'll hear us again real soon. Good night, everybody.
Hey, friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show. Big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.